Our conversation with the head coach brought to you by Star Market's Just For You digital app. Earn rewards, save on your groceries and gas. Download the Star Market mobile app or visit starmarket.com. There were two things I thought that came out of having a home-and-home this late in the year. One was the mini playoff series idea of playing the same team twice in a row as we head towards what we're heading for. And the other is, unwittingly, got a lot of zone defense against you. And in the last three or four games, did both those things sort of play out the way you hoped they would?
Yeah, I mean, I thought our guys did a good job against the zone on the second night of the Miami series, or collection of games there, whatever you want to call it. And I thought that that was big. Playing Jason Tatum in the middle, I thought, was really effective, and our guys did a great job of being patient in the middle of the zone and finding a great shot instead of just trying to score over the centers and just trying to make those tough little shots in the paint with Whiteside running at you.
Kyrie, the last few minutes, there haven't been a lot of situations where he's been in foul trouble this year, so he's got five fouls in the fourth quarter. What was the what's the thought process? What was your balance there, especially with the game Dragic you'd had?
We were up nine when I took him out. We were on the defensive end of the floor. I originally had Terry at the table to take him out earlier, but he was the one at the foul line. So wanted to make sure that we at least got into the last, you know, if it became a 1-2 possession game, we need Kyrie available. And the way that Miami was playing, they were just lowering their head and driving the ball. I was worried that no matter the matchup, they were going to seek out Kyrie and try to get his sixth foul, which makes it really, really tough when you have to play that way. I felt like if we could stem the tide, you know, win a possession here or there, get a score and a stop and get them together, we wouldn't have to put him back in. If it got to five, I could call timeout and we could send him back in.
Leon and I were just talking about, we played some of the sound from Kyrie after the game, talking about his relationship with you and how it's evolved and how much more comfortable he is. Do you feel the same way that he does about the sort of natural evolution of two guys who have to communicate the way you two do over the last year and now 2 years?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you, sure, but I think you'd be disappointed if you didn't. I mean, you're supposed to get to know each other better and work together, and that's everybody on our team. That's just not him. I mean, this is as many guys as we've had back. It's new. It's guys in different roles, and it's guys doing different things, and that makes everything more difficult. But that's part of a team, and that's why no matter what, through the goods and bads of the season, you just kind of weather the storm, you move on, and you get ready for what's next. If you have that mindset, everything like this usually gets better as time goes on.
It's funny you'd phrase it that way. Max, I was thinking of a conversation Max and I had over the summer, just kind of catching up, what's going on. We started talking about the team. And we were talking about the things that Shane Larkin did last year and how those aren't as easy to replace as you think they are. And yet, particularly down the stretch, as situations have called for it, you seem to have the same trust in Brad Wanamaker that you had in Shane last year.
Yeah, I think the best part about that is you know what those guys are going to do because they stick to what they do. They don't have any, like, there's no, you know, with Shane, it was to push the tempo, it was to get into the middle of the paint, and it was to guard as hard as he could. With Brad, you know, he's more of a guy that he can certainly push the tempo, but he's a really savvy point, and he's very good against zones. But he's a very savvy point guard. He understands the game. He gets people in the right spots. And then on the other end, he can guard up a little bit. He can play physically. He's a big guy. He's strong. He's hard to get an inch on. So if he gets switched on to Dwayne Wade, it's not the end of the world for that possession. And I think that that's really valuable to have a guy like that coming off the bench.
I've carefully avoided the home court discussion as we've gone through because it was too early to do it. It's the same answer about playing well, and we want to be healthy, and all the stuff that it matters. But if there's ever a night to discuss it, this is the night. It's the 80th game. It's dead heat. All of the other things we put in evidence, playing well, injuries, background noise that you can't control during a pregame interview, all of those things that can't be controlled. There has to be some value, right, as having it versus not having it. It has to count for something.
Yeah, it counts. It definitely does. And people want to play at home for a reason. People want to, you know, get as high of a seat as they can for a reason. I think it's one of those things as a coach, you know, you can really hammer and you can really harp on. And then what if you don't get it?
Right.
And then you don't want to set it so that you can't still achieve what you want to achieve, right? I mean, ultimately, this is about playing as well as we can tonight, trying to put our best foot forward. If we win the game, we'll learn a lot about playing against the Pacers, but we're still going to have to beat them four times in the next 2 weeks. If we lose the game, we're going to learn a lot about playing against the Pacers, and we're still going to have to beat them four times in the next 2 weeks, regardless of venue. The one thing I know about this place because I grew up here, is these crowds will be tremendous. And that'll be fun. I mean, this is why you play.
And the one thing we know about this team, with Oladipo, without him, all year, whether they're winning or losing, they've been physical. And everybody has used that word over and over and over again, but it can be a fairly generic term. When you say it, what is going through your mind? What are you picturing when you talk about how physical they are?
Yeah, they're just big, strong, and physical. They're playing more traditional than most teams in the league. Thaddeus Young's versatility allows them to do that with him at the four. They can play the two bigs together, Sabonis and Turner. A lot of teams are just playing one of those guys at a time. And then their wings are big and strong, and they can post you. One of the things about losing Oladipo is you lose the guy that you go to on every possession late. But now they pick on matchups. And so now they find their matchup they like, and they just go at it, and it doesn't matter who it is. And so they'll post Thaddeus. They'll go at Turner's guy if he's way back in the paint and pop Turner. They'll go at, if a small's guarding Bogdanovich, they'll post him. If a small's guarding Matthews, they'll post him. Like, they just pick the matchup. And so that makes it really difficult because you never know where they're going to attack, and you have to be on your toes a little bit with what, you know, you think they're going to try to exploit.
That's the head coach. You said the crowds here will be intense next week, whenever it is that we get back here. Were you ever a part of one of those Pacers playoff crowds?
Yeah. I mean, I came all the way through the late 80s and 90s. You know, I remember the days of the – I believe it was the late 80s when, you know, the Pacers got beat in the first round by Bird when he ended up diving on the floor. And
92.
And Person went off in that series as a young player. I remember vividly the Orlando series in 94 when Rick Smits hit the shot from the free throw line to beat him. I was here. I was only about 10 rows up, and it was just a tremendous atmosphere. And I was here for a lot of the Knicks-Pacers series over the years. And so those were always fun. Was that an NBA Finals game when they played the Lakers in 99 or 2000, whenever that was? And so those were fun. This place values basketball, and it'll be a great atmosphere.
Part of those Spike Lee crowds, like booing those games?
I don't think I was. So I remember that specific 30 for 30.
Yeah.
And
game
I don't
six.
Think I was at game six. Yeah. But I was at a couple of them as time went on. I mean, I used to watch them super intently. I mean, and obviously was a huge fan.
That's the head coach, Celtics and Pacers, round two, next on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.